My friends from it's Omar and Surinder.
Have a seat. Maybe I'll sit down also. You should sit on the cushion on the floor. I think it'll be a little cold.
For the past year and a half or so, when you come into the university preaching, just been introduced to
which university?
Coventry University.
Coventry.
So, yeah.
What's being taught in Coventry University?
So with the Christian consciousness.
Technical university? No.
It's more.
Is it arts?
It used to be, yeah, a lot of arts. There's law being taught there. It's a lot of engineering, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best engineering.
Uh-huh. What do you study?
I finished. I did economics.
Oh. You're working now?
Yes.
And yourself, you're also?
I just graduated from computer science. I'm working as an IT engineer now. At NHS.
That's good. And then you have weekly meetings there?
It's every Wednesday evening.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so happened that you chosen Wednesday for Coventry. So rather than having it there.
What do you call it?
What do we call the
club?
So Krishna Consciousness Society.
Krishna Consciousness. How many people come regularly?
How many come regularly?
Six.
That's good.
Numbers vary. Usually at the beginning of the year there's more numbers.
Yeah.
Sometimes at the end of the year there's more numbers as well.
It's pretty straightforward, Krishna Conscious Society. People know what they're getting involved in.
So you were at university when you met Srila Prabhupada, right? Or the devotees?
University. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada really emphasized preaching to universities. That was really nice yesterday, seeing so many
students
in Birmingham. Because that's where the leaders of society are, and that's where educated people are, decision makers. And it's important to bring Krishna consciousness to them, whatever degree, whoever takes it up, to whatever degree they do take it up. But,
I really liked your talk yesterday, Maharaj. It was really straightforward.
We should be straightforward. Because life's short.
Mm. Is there any questions you have? Oh, we've got a chance.
What are you doing then?
I'm a dentist. Right. Working here in Coventry.
You have your own practice?
It's not my own practice, no. Not yet.
You work with some?
I work, yeah. There's about 8 dentists in the practice. So I have one little room there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need anything.
I have this dentist I've been going to in London for the last 25 years.
Okay.
I've only had 2 dentists in my life.
Okay.
One before I came to England, one when I got here. I'm pretty faithful to my dentists and doctors, provided that they're good. He's very good. He's very, very good. He's been in the same place since then.
Mm. Well, if ever you need, I'm still.
Got pretty good equipment. You know, he just takes. I need a crown. He just takes a computer scan right there.
Oh, one of them. Yeah.
He's got.
And then reels it.
He just does it right there. Casts the. Ceramic mold right on the spot.
It's amazing technology now.
Phenomenal. You just watch. Takes a scan. And just, it's
amazing.
technology has some certain benefits. Sometimes it's true.
Jessel was telling me that you've been around the world. You've done
been around the world?
Yeah, you've practiced around, like you've preached around the world.
Well, I tried to avoid it.
You tried to avoid it?
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to come to my next question, but
what's the next question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask whereabouts have you been and what's your favourite places?
I've been to America and Canada and Europe and India. Those are the places I've been. But traveling is only exciting as long as you don't do it. Once you start doing it, especially when you start doing it regularly, then it really loses its flavor.
It's tiring. Yeah.
It's very tiring. It's exhausting. And, so actually, the last few years, I just concentrate on Hungary. I try to avoid traveling as much as possible. So much so that I came here by train rather than by plane.
Well, through you. Really?
Yeah. A little adventure. Train travel is the best type of travel. Much better than airplane or car. It's really comfortable, fast. Let's talk about different conferences.
You can do Arti.
Huh?
And then you're free afterwards.
We'll do Arti?
We'll do Arti now. And then it's yourselves.
Yeah. Oh. 7:10?
We usually do 7:30. So, but we thought we'll do Arti now. When people come, it's your satsang.
Okay, but anyway, well, why don't you sing Arti? Because there's nowhere else to sit, right?
No, really. You want to do japa?
Huh?
Do you want to do
No, I was just going to think with that.
Well, we can do it at 7:30.
Because I've only have voice power for, you know, half an hour.
All right.
that's as much as I lasted for last night.
All right. Well, we can do it at 7:30.
Yeah, I know.
That's fine.
There's a beautiful temple in Hungary. A really beautiful temple in Hungary.
Yeah.
Which is a
management. Many countries. Anyway, how much do you practice Krishna consciousness? You chant, you do rap.
Do meditation. Nam Simran, which is same. Chanting God's name.
What is it?
Nam Simran.
What's that?
Which is chanting God's name. Meditating on God's name.
What name?
Vahe Guru. Or Vasudev Hare Govindra, which is the same name of God eternally.
It's the same, but it's not the same.
What way?
Because it's not what's recommended in Shastra.
How come?
Huh?
Could you elaborate on that?
Why it's not recommended in Shastra?
Yeah.
It's the other question you should ask. Why are you chanting something that's not recommended in Shastra? Mm. Where did you pick it up from?
Because I'm actually Sikh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I try to read among everything that I can read upon.
Because, you know, Granth Sahib is a contemporary literature. It's not Vedic literature. And although, you know, it's full of Krishna's name and Ram's name. But Krishna's name and Ram's name also are meant to be chanted in a certain way. just like saying, I don't know, saying Ram's name, you know, three times and Krishna's name three times isn't the same as saying it according to the configuration that's in the Mahamantra.
What about the way you say it from within? So like, if you say a name and you say it with real love or Prem from within.
That you don't have love or Prem. Don't even start with that. That's the end. It's like saying, you know, what if I start off with nuclear physics in first grade? But you're not going to start off with nuclear physics in first grade. You start off with adding. You start off with arithmetic.
Right.
So you don't have Prem. People don't have Prem. Prem is the end result. You can't start off with it. But the real thing is that spiritual life has to be based on scripture, on Shastra. And particularly mantras have to come from scripture in order to be empowered to be chanted. Otherwise, even if in the name of God, they won't have the same potency. So Krishna says in Shastra Vinamutsrija Vartati Kamakarata, if people make up some mantra, like nowadays it's fashionable to make up a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And then people may make it up with the names of God, and they may even chant it with some kind of emotion. It still won't have the same potency. It's like you have a, you know, post office box where you put the letters in. Now you can make another red box and you can stick it out there, but the postman's not going to pick up letters that's in it because it's not an authorized box.
Mm.
It may look the same, it may have the same thing, and you may even want to put your letters in it, but they're just going to accumulate because they're not authorized post office boxes. Post office man's going to say, this isn't on my route, this was never here before, this doesn't have, you know, the majesty seal on it. There's no something. So someone made it up, so your letter stays there.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly, chanting the names of God needs to be done according to the way that God's willing to accept it. And the only way we know that is because it's stated in Shastra and Scripture.
How many people just actually chant God's name, actually do it properly?
You mean from scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Those people who are serious about spiritual life. And people can chant anything they want, but they shouldn't expect that it'll be successful.
Okay.
So, I mean, just like in university.
Yeah.
You can, people can take different elements of some subject, either computer science or economics or anything. But unless you do it the authorized way, you don't get a diploma and you can't practice.
Mm-hmm.
You can even sit in every single course. You can go through all university, sitting in everything and learn everything. But unless you've been authorized by this, at the end, you don't get a diploma and you can't practice, despite the fact you can know everything. So even the even having the right thing isn't necessarily enough. It has to be authorized by the authorizing agency, like the university. I mean, anyone can sit in any class they want, and they can go through 5 years for some degree or something. But in the end, go through all the 5 years, but in the end they won't get a degree because they're not registered, and they're not registered students, authorized students. So that's why we chant according to what's in Shastra and according to what Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have recommended to us. And if we know that, all right, this is an authorized process. Therefore, we know that if I put my time and energy in it, and even if I put pain into it, then it will actually get the right result. Why should I do something that's not necessarily recognized or that has questionable So that's why this Hare Krishna mantra is called the Maha Mantra, because it's made of the names of Krishna. It's especially empowered by the fact that it's being chanted by most spiritually realized personalities, and it's also not chanted just within this world, but it's also chanted in the spiritual realm as well. And that's why we chant it, you know, whether people are Christians or Jews or Hindus or Sikhs or Muslims, or it's available for everyone. And then people can get maximum benefit from it. Have you read the Gita?
Reading it.
Oh, that's good.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm trying to read as much as I can, really. I find it interesting to read as many different texts, books in the Bible as well, completing that, but I read quite a lot around Sikhism as well. But it just makes me want to discover more about every other faith as well, because there seems to be a lot of stuff that's appealing.
You know, there's different ways of reading scripture, but ultimately one has to then follow one.
Sure.
You can't follow, you can't go down many roads.
Yeah.
The Bhagavad Gita a lot of it relates to other religions as well, so not losing that by reading the Bhagavad Gita. You find the answers to other religions, they will come to the same answer eventually.
No, they won't. That's, if you do an analysis, you find that there are things in other religions that are stated in Bhagavad Gita, and then there are many things stated in the Bhagavad Gita you won't find in other religions. So if someone does an objective comparative analysis, that it's not the same.
But some of them relate in certain ways. Well, I'm not saying that. I think for me to say they come to the same answer is probably wrong. But they relate. What I'm trying to say is that they relate.
Yeah. Yeah, the real scope of religion is meant to is not a parallel structure, but it's a complementary structure that builds one on top of the other. And just like education, you have primary school and secondary school and college and university and postgraduate. There's a lot of similarities. In all of them, you're speaking the same language. You're using similar tools. Same writing and communication and so on, but and there are similarities to grade school and university. You use the same numbers, and but it's not the same.
Swamiji, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, talks about the sevenfold yoga system.
Eight.
And it's eightfold. Yeah. And it says that it's not adequate for this yoga because it's hard to practice, because Arjuna found it hard to practice in his yoga.
Yeah,
so therefore, is it impossible to do, accomplish that within this yoga?
Yeah. It is. Just stay outside overnight on the street. Can you do it?
No, I'm not saying, I'm just wondering, like, I'm just saying like that structure's in place, but...
But just that, just living outside in a secluded place, it's impossible. Who can do that?
Right,
that's what I'm saying, even just staying outside overnight just for one night, because what to speak of heading off to the Himalayas, and...
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Ashtanga yoga is meant to be practiced. It's not meant to be practiced in the living room.
Right.
It's meant to be practiced in a secluded place out in the forest. Who can live out in the forest? It's been difficult for us.
And this yoga is not necessary.
Hmm?
This yoga is not necessary.
That's right. If it was, Krishna would insist, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And it's in the end of that chapter, then it says yoginam apisarvisham. He says, alright, but of all different types of yogis, and by then Krishna's already talked about karma yoga and jnana yoga and ashtanga yoga. Yoginam apisarvisham madgatam yantratva shadavam bhagate. So the essence of yoga is to have worship me with faith. So that's what the ashtanga yogis also ultimately meant to come to. All of those, all that strict discipline and meditation is ultimately meant to cultivate faith and fix the mind on Krishna. So, if that can then be achieved by other processes, that's fine. And that's, like you said, the essence of religion in that sense is common.
Yeah.
The purpose of religion is to know God and to love God and to have faith in Him. So the essence of all yoga practices, then Krishna says, yes, that's Shravan Bhajate Yomam, is to worship me with faith and devotion. And then he says, Man Mana Mahavana Bhaktum Adhyajnam. So then he gives simpler process. And the process is very different to yogas.
So by just meditating and say Krishna's name, you could reach it.
Yeah, because that's the process for this year.
Mm.
So Shastra says, in this age, then yagya is sankirtana prayarya jantihi samedasa. By chanting the names of the Lord, then one achieves the same perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So processes are selected according to the nature and ability of people.
Mm-hmm.
That meditation process, that was a long, long time ago. So it wasn't even in the previous yuga. That was in originally in Sakya yuga. Because it takes a long time also to perfect, so you've got to live a long time.
But what's the best way to help settle the mind so that you can chant properly?
By living a sinless life.
Sinless?
Sinless life, yeah. Never. Because the mind becomes agitated by, because we perform sinful activities. And so, you know, and we agitate our minds unnecessarily with music, movies, television, all of these things disturb the mind so much you can't meditate. Because you can't meditate and watch TV. It's just impossible. Alcohol, intoxication, drugs, these things also cause so much disturbance. So then people can't. So one has to be self-controlled in terms of his lifestyle. And by a self-controlled lifestyle, then the mind becomes peacefully to sit down and do those things. And like you say, that's a very important thing, because if your mind isn't peaceful, then, and that's why Arjuna also said about even that meditation process. He says, my mind's too disturbed for this, I can't do this. And that was Arjuna. So one has to have a peaceful mind. At least we shouldn't unnecessarily disturb it. Just already living in this world is already disturbance enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you live in a sinless way, it's already a problem.
But you know, if you're living in a sinless way, then you can't really have an ego, can you?
You can have a sinless ego.
Ego still.
Ego still.
You have a pure ego.
Yeah, so.
But you don't have a false ego.
Okay. So.
Ego means who we are.
Right.
So. Identity we always have, but we have a right identity.
Right.
there's no way of getting rid of your ego.
Well, ego, the definition of the word ego means identity. So it's your false identity that we want to get rid of. False identity means I'm this body. I'm Indian, English, French, Hindu, Sikh. These are all false ego. A real ego means that I'm servant of God. I'm spirit.
Then would you say if you get rid of that false ego, you've got rid of Christian consciousness as well?
No. That's when you can start practicing Krishna consciousness. That's when you start. In other words, Krishna consciousness means, consciousness means the nature of the ego. In other words, the ego is conscious. So when the ego is pure, then he's naturally Krishna conscious. And when the ego is related to nationalism, then I become a nationalist. That's my ego. And then I become a loyalist. Or when, you know, my ego is for some kind of religion or materialistic faith, or if I'm identifying with, I don't know, identifying as a lawyer, then I think I'm, you know, part of the bar. And so this is all false identity. But the real identity is that when all of those false things, sarva upadi vinir muktam, when all of those false identities are removed and your natural ego comes out, who you really are, not covered, not influenced by other things, then what will come out, that's called Krishna consciousness.
But then why would Krishna create so many false egos before realizing that you're Krishna again?
Why does Krishna create the false egos? He doesn't create, we're the ones who create. We adopt different identities, false identities. We identify with this world, this body. And as a result of that, yeah, we have so many different false conceptions. So Krishna wants us to actually come back to our original conception of who we are and give up all of these false. The main one starts with that I'm this body.
Okay.
And that's the most difficult one to give up. And then everything, all the other ones connect to that. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm a father. I'm a employer. I'm an engineer. I'm a computer technician. I'm Hindu. I'm English. I'm Indian. I'm Christian. These are all like conceptions relating to the body. But when you just get down to the soul, then I'm a servant of God. And that identity is the spiritual identity, and that's really, that state of being is called consciousness, that state of awareness is called Krishna consciousness. So we just really want to get back to that state of consciousness. And that's why Krishna consciousness is not accepting something, but rather just cleaning away all these other things, and that naturally comes out. So it's like, some gold, the gold is covered, you clean away all the dirt. You don't have to make gold, it's already there. You just gotta clean off all the other stuff. So when you clean everything away, then you end up, so we've got to clean away all these false conceptions. You want to start with, you want to do Arti? Hare Das. Maybe.
If you'd like to sign up for the Arti, please take it. No problem.
Yeah, well, I guess we can.